Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. It might surprise you to learn that nearly half of the working households in Ashland are considered asset limited, income constrained, employed, also known by the acronym ALICE. It's a government reference to the workers who earn more than the federal poverty level, but still not enough to cover all living expenses. In talent, more than half of the working households, 53%, and nearly half in Ashland, 46%, are residents who are employed, but simply don't earn enough to cover all their living expenses, according to research data produced by UnitedForALICE.org. Far too often, ALICE households face the dilemma of paying for food or paying the bills. The Ashland Community Food Bank is one of the places people in Ashland and Talent can turn to for food when they need to. Joining the exchange is Amy Broker, Executive Director of the Ashland Community Food Bank. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
So tell me about the Ashland Community Food Bank.
Sure, thanks. Ashland Community Food Bank was founded by our community in 1972. It was a group of faith-based organizations that recognized a need in our community. We were originally known as Ashland Emergency Food Bank, and that's because we really intended on being there for folks in crisis. Today, that's not the case any longer. We're a line item on people's budget. We're how folks make ends meet from month to month.
Wow. Well, I was surprised by the data showing that nearly half of the households in Ashland are considered ALICE, particularly because census data shows that the median household income in Ashland is just above $50,000 per year, and Ashland ranks 35 out of 50 of the top wealthiest cities in Oregon, according to rankings published by the Oregonian. So to see that, you know, Ashland is ranked so high on the income list.
Right.
And the cost of living seems to be even higher.
It's an amazing statistic. I think it puts a lot into perspective. I recently attended a health equity conference, and there were some SOU folks involved who had recently done a study on poverty levels, which directly impacts health equity. And Ashland actually had the highest poverty level in the valley.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So tell me about the programs at the Ashland Community Food Bank, like the Ashland Food Project.
Sure. So Ashland Food Project is actually a sister organization. Okay. They gather food for the food bank through neighborhood coordination. We bring in this last food drive we just had last weekend, 36,000 pounds of food. And that food lasts us a little over 2 weeks. We distribute almost 60,000 pounds of food per month directly to folks who come to our doors for assistance. On top of that, we distribute through some satellite pantries. We provide food to external agencies that produce free hot meals on a weekly basis. And we also are providing food to our schools from Head Start all the way through SOU.
So you're core to this community. Your tentacles are reaching every part of it.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
Give me some of your background, where you grew up, what got you into this type of work.
This work, yeah. You know, a lot of us have this long, winding road, and we're surprised where we end up. I'm from the Midwest. I grew up around the Great Lakes, and my sister was the first one to move to the West Coast, and she was in Eugene. I took a circuitous route to the East Coast, the Southwest, and then here, and I've been in the Valley for almost 20 years. I actually have a degree in fine arts, and when I got done with school, I was chemically sensitive, and I had an autoimmune condition, and I could no longer continue doing what I had just finished committing myself to, and became very involved in natural foods for healing myself. And really, that set this core understanding that without adequate nutrition, we cannot thrive. And sometimes we really struggle to just survive. And so for many, many years, for three decades, I was in the natural foods industry on a variety of levels, retail, manufacturing, distribution, even for a period, ran an alternative health clinic here in Ashland. Almost, I guess maybe 8 years ago, I got involved at the food bank, and I started out volunteering at food drives. I eventually joined the board of directors. During COVID, there was one changeover of executive directors. At that time, I was running that health clinic. I was very interested in that position and felt I could not leave that clinic in the middle of COVID. When the position became available again, I was like, this is really what I would like to be doing. And it is an absolutely joyful place to be committing time and energy.
I've heard it said that food is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly contributes to our health and can easily detract from it.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it is absolutely critical. So is community. And, you know, community is probably the most critical aspect to thriving. It's the most critical element when you are challenged with stress or trauma. And not only are we providing food, but we are truly providing community at the food bank, amongst our volunteers, amongst our clients, between different organizations. We're really, truly weaving community. And I think that's just as important as the food in some ways.
I love that. My guest is Amy Broker, Executive Director of the Ashland Community Food Bank. We're talking about the services provided to residents of Ashland and the neighboring city of Talent. So talk to me about, now, I said Ashland and Talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that people outside of those regions cannot access the food bank. Is that correct?
That's true. Our mission has always been to serve residents of Ashland and Talent. We are an independent, community-supported food bank. We are not involved in any government agencies or funding. So we actually are quite low barrier, and that is why we choose to remain independent. It also allows us a lot of flexibility about how we receive food and how we distribute food. So we serve anybody who's in the 520 or 540 area code, and we provide up to 6 days worth of food to any resident, and that may pose the question, how do we work with the unhoused who don't have an address?
Well, you posed your own question.
I posed my own question. So, you know, we're on the I-5 corridor, as we're all well aware, and that means we do have a lot of people who just kind of float through our town. And we do have an awful lot of unhoused residents in our town. And so the first time an unhoused person shows up at our door, we provide them with about a half a day's worth of food, and they're eligible for that four times over the next 30 days. If they prove that they remain in the area for 30 days, they're now treated as an unhoused resident. There are a few ways to bypass that and immediately be considered a resident of our community. That's by working directly with ORA or working with Maslow Project or some other social service agency that can vouch for that person. Sometimes people are under protection. So once somebody's in our system as an unhoused resident, they're eligible for the same amount of food as a housed person. And our housed residents are welcome to come twice a month for 3 days worth of food. And so up to 6 days worth of food over the course of the month. That's too much for an unhoused person to manage in a single shop. Mm. So they're eligible to come four times a month for half as much food. So still 6 days worth of food, but in smaller batches so that they can carry it, they can store it. Some slightly different food options to address the fact that they may not be able to cook, they may not have refrigeration, and limited storage capacity.
Right. Can you talk about where you're located and describe the experience that people have when they arrive?
Sure. So we're located right off exit 14 on Clover Lane. You may be familiar with El Paraiso or Caldera Brewing is on Clover Lane. When folks arrive at our facility, we're open 9:30 to 12:30 Monday through Friday, and we're open the third Saturday. So we're open this Saturday for service 9:30 to 12:30. When folks arrive, we have a ticket system just like you may at a deli counter. First come, first serve. As long as you pull a ticket by 12:30, we serve you that day. Your number is called. You come into our intake desk, where we just make sure you're a resident of our area. You're in our system, and that system is a locked down system. It is not interfaced with anything else. We do not share that information. So for folks who might be concerned about their information being shared, it is on lock and key. So folks come to our door, we get them in our system, and we provide them a shopping list. That shopping list provides that 3 days worth of food, and they have the agency to say, I'm gluten-free, I'd prefer organic, I have an allergy to peanuts, I'm on a low-salt diet. And then they go through food category to food category and choose what they'd like to have that day. They provide that shopping list to one of our volunteers. Our volunteer shops it. While our volunteer is doing that shopping for them, they're welcome to visit what we call our free table area. The free table area is food that's provided to us by all of our local grocery stores. Another one of our sister agencies is Food Angels. They pick up probably 360 days a week. I mean a year, 360 days a year from our local grocers. That's all short-dated food that is still safe to eat. So it's produce, it's dairy, it's bread, it's deli food. And folks can leave with a considerable amount of food from that free table area on top of that 3 days worth of food that they're getting through their shopping list.
Wow.
It's a lot of food.
Sounds like
you're busy. We're busy.
It's a lot of food. I checked out the ALIS data for Jackson County by racial demographics, and I was blown away. Mm-hmm. Jackson County is 91% white, according to the census, and 43% are ALIS households throughout the whole county. And while non-white populations are a much smaller portion of the county, their numbers are higher for ALIS. For example, the Asian ALIS population is 46%. The Hispanic ALIS population is 50%. The Native American ALIS population is 58%. And the Black ALIS population is the highest at 81% in Jackson County.
Yeah.
Those data are provided by UnitedForALIS.org. I'm curious about the racial demographics of the people you see at the Ashland Food Bank.
We don't actually physically, we don't literally track that.
Right.
We're not asking anybody their origin, where they were born. We're not tracking color of skin, any of that. And just as an observation, I would say we're very reflective of our community. Although I would say reflective of the general demographics, not what you just spoke to economically.
So Ashland is more diverse then?
I don't know that Ashland is more, we're not seeing the diversity I would expect at the food bank. I would love for folks to understand that they are so welcome for service at our food bank. We are here for everybody. Everybody should feel safe. Everybody should feel welcome. Everybody should feel a sense of dignity when they come for service to our food bank.
Well, feeding folks is a full-time, never-ending process, and it does take a village, a community, as you said. So tell me about your partnerships in the community.
Sure. So we have many. So Food Angels and Ashland Food Project are some key providers in terms of getting food to us. And then we're providing out through Head Start. We're partnering with Rotary Club of Ashland and Access for backpacks for elementary school kids to go home with over the weekend. We provide non-stigmatizing foods to our middle school and high school that administrators, counselors, teachers can hand out to kids that they see are in need. We provide about 600 pounds of food to SOU's pantry on a monthly basis. Then we have external pantries at SOU. We provide to SOU's pantry. We provide to the pantry at the library and to the senior center. Then there's a third little free pantry by First Presbyterian Church.
What is non-stigmatizing food?
Non-stigmatizing food is food that if that kiddo is, munching on that protein bar, it's not going to look like it came from a government agency. It's going to look like it came from an affluent kiddo's household that their parents sent in their backpack. So it's something that ensures that child is not recognized as being in a compromising position. It looks like everybody else's food.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So people are judging someone because they're eating food from the food bank. And so there's
shame. There's often shame. There's often a feeling of less than, and it can, and I want to assure you that there are a lot of people out there who need food, and there's no reason to be ashamed. And we are at the food bank to provide you food because that's an essential need, and it is so hard to do that, to afford all of that when, half of our town doesn't have the earning potential to pay all their bills.
Exactly, and it comes back to that. So food and community. How can people get involved and provide support?
Thank you. The Food Project is a great way, the Green Bag Program, if you're not doing that. Their website's wonderful. Please just reach out to Ashland Food Project to find out how to participate through that. We have over 12,000 hours of volunteer support that run the food bank. We only have 4 part-time employees, and then we have 80 volunteers who work on an operational basis weekly to keep the wheels on the bus and serve our community. If you go to our website, you'll see a volunteer page. Feel free, if you'd like to volunteer with us, to go in and fill out that survey.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate your time.
My guest was Amy Broker, Executive Director of the Ashland Community Food Bank. We'll have more information with links on our website at jeffexchange.org. I'm Mike Green.